Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? On our family's recent vacation, I rode alone on the London subway. A man, disturbed and angry, let out a stream of curses behind me. My adrenaline spiked. I thought he must be talking on his phone, upset with someone. The cursing continued. I evaded that part of the train with my eyes. Everyone else studiously avoided him too. I didn't know what was going on, and honestly, I didn't want to know. Soon, the train pulled to a halt. The doors slid open, and the man stumbled into view. He was tall, lanky, obviously hungry. He staggered forward uneasily, having to hold intentionally onto the rail, stepping carefully out of the train. Arriving on the platform, he took two steps, then fell on his hands and knees. The doors closed between him and me, just as he began to retch. I had just finished a 5-day spiritual retreat. What a way to come back to reality. As the train moved on, I reflected on what I had read there about Saint Ignatius Loyola, who believed that our experience of God depends on the direction we're facing. If we're facing toward God, we recognize his love pulling us forward. If we're facing away from God, his love feels like a constant reproach and goad at our back. The man must have been carrying an impossible cross of shame, guilt, duty, and hopelessness. Added to that was the unbearable burden of a love that would not give up on him, even when he had given up on himself. The question that the man was being asked without him knowing it is the question that we get to ask ourselves this morning. Will we let Jesus carry our cross? In the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, he writes or records a hymn from early Christian worship. This is a hymn to Jesus, talking about who he is and what he did. It says that Jesus, before being born, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, put God the Father first, and therefore on the mission of salvation, put us first. Because Jesus counted the cost, he knew what he was choosing. He knew that he would get sick, that his body would be weak, that he would experience pain and sometimes suffering, that his heart would be broken, that he would suffer rejection and loss, torture and death. But even knowing this, Jesus chose us anyway. He carried our cross up the hill of Golgotha, and he offers to carry our cross still. Will we let Jesus carry our cross? Now, let's be honest. This is a harder question than it sounds like. Because sometimes we all want to think that the Christian life is about duty. Our duty is what we owe others. It's about fairness and justice. Sometimes we are hounded by our duty. You know, if we just show up for worship, if we just do this, if we just do that, then we assume that God will be on our side, that somehow we have earned it. But when we make Christian life all about duty, all about our obligations, what happens? It always feels like God is behind us, hounding us, a reproach and a goad, always expecting us to be and have and do more. In our second lesson, Paul writes to Philemon about his runaway slave, Onesimus. Paul wants Philemon to free Onesimus now that Onesimus has become a Christian. Paul could have appealed to Philemon's duty. He could have made it about shame and guilt, but would rather appeal to love. "I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty," he writes. "Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love." Like Paul, Jesus, the one who loves and chooses us, wants the Christian life to be about love. Duty can only ever release a slave. That's all duty can see. But love can set a person free. Duty sees everyone as an obligation. But love sees the child of God standing in front of us. Think of your creation. Think of the love that God has already poured into you. Our psalm today, Psalm 139, talks about how God knows us completely, how he traces our travel and where we lay our heads. He's acquainted with all our ways. God's hand presses on us behind and before. God lays his hands on us. Our orientation towards God or away from God shows how we will experience that presence, either as crushing weight or as freeing love. "This is too wonderful for me," the psalmist sings. "Even when I was hidden in the womb, you knew me and loved me." He expresses awe and wonder at God's thoughts and ways. Will we let Jesus carry our cross? The God who loves us wants to take it off our back. He wants us to stop running, to turn around to face his love. He made us, he made you, loves you, and wishes to rescue all of us from the shame, guilt, duty, and hopelessness we carry around. Let Jesus lift that cross off your shoulders. Turn around to face the warmth and light of God's love. Heal up. Rest. Learn to be loved. Then, when you're ready, you will hear Jesus calling you to more. Jesus put God and us first in everything. So he invites us to put him first in everything. As in our gospel today, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Part of Jesus' call to discipleship, putting him first in everything, means that we must first give up the desire to please others, even those who use our shame and guilt to make us do our duty. I think this is what hating one's parents, spouse, children, and siblings means. It's not about despising them, but letting them find their proper place in our lives. For the disciple, Jesus comes first, and the disciple must be ready to follow Jesus, no matter what else is going on. But Jesus also wants to make sure we're ready for this journey. Just like he did before he began his mission, he invites each of us to count the cost. He tells the story of a person intending to build a tower. Isn't it better to ensure you have the materials before you start? Otherwise, what's going to happen? You're never going to be able to finish. He tells the story of a king. Isn't it better to ensure you can win the battle before starting it? Jesus is clear. To be his disciple is to put him first in everything, even above all that one owns, even above duty and fairness, even above pleasing others. Why? Because the invitation to be Jesus' disciple is the invitation to carry the cross with him. He took the cross for us. Being healed, we reach out to carry the cross for others. When we do, Jesus, who carries our cross, lifts the cross off another's back through us. So, sisters and brothers, it is time to remember God's love for us. When Jesus calls, let's count the cost and lay aside what hinders us from following him. Let's lay aside the cross of fairness, of being so concerned about getting what we are owed that we forget to give others what they are owed. Remembering that ultimately, what we owe one another is not some checkbox list of duties, but love. And love that includes and surpasses all that we owe. Let's put down the cross of pleasing others, whether it's father or mother, wife or children, brothers or sisters, yes, even life itself. Pleasing others leads us away from God's love. When we face God's love, receive it, and take up the cross to follow Jesus, some in our lives will experience that as amazing grace. And let's be honest, others will not. And when they resist us or reject us, or when they refuse to let us share their burden, we will continue to love them for the sake of the one who loved us first. So both those things, let's put down the cross of fairness, of demanding what we are owed. Let's put down the cross of pleasing others. And let's take up the cross of joyful service to God and our neighbor. Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If we run away from God, the cross on our shoulders is too heavy to bear. But when we turn to face him and allow Jesus to take the cross off our shoulders, the cross that we pick up is joyful service, a joyful service that transforms us as we become and share Jesus' good news, and through us transforms our world. As the subway gained speed, I prayed for the man on the platform. Since then, I have hoped that as he was there sick, he could feel Jesus kneeling beside him, that he could feel the weight of Jesus' hand on his back, that he could hear Jesus' voice, not as reproach or goad, but as a voice beckoning him to healing and wholeness. I pray that he turned, saw Jesus' face shining at him, and finally realized that he had never been without the love he had been seeking but never finding. I pray he heard Jesus say, "Come, child, let me carry your cross." And that he said, at last. Yes. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.